We didn't plan it that way. If I'd have known Brother Eddie was here, he'd been speaking tonight. I see his name out on the board. I didn't realize that he was here. Now, I don't have to tell you that that's a cup, right? And it's a China cup. Well, that's what we want to talk about tonight. And I'm going to stay right behind the mic so to ease, be a little easy on my voice. One sad note, not a little one. I don't know how many of you heard that Matthew died this morning. Bunker, it's commonly known, and that is sad. I don't know how it is with his soul. We prayed for him, and people witnessed to him. Losing them, the boys were telling me that he was out to the boat, and he said, God has been good to me. And somebody asked him, well, what about your response to the Lord? Words of that sort. And they didn't get a clear answer. And I hope he's right with his soul. It's really sad when you hear somebody like that passes off. Had everything to live for. And it's true, God was good to him. Had cancer for quite a while. A lot of time to turn to the Lord and repent. But we don't understand a lot of these things, do we? Psalm 116, because remember, we're going to be talking about a cup. I was surprised that at least 70 times, maybe more, the word cup is mentioned in the Bible. Can you imagine that? And I usually have a habit at read a psalm or two, maybe more, every day. Not every day I do it, but at least I try to, all right? I get a lot from the psalms. And going over this psalm, it's when I came, the Lord led me to speak on the cup. All right, Psalm 116 now, if you will. 116 and verse, let's see if I get the right verse now. Verse 13, yes. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Now, that's the key verse for tonight. There are many other verses we're going to be referring to. I promise I'm going to let you out in time. So just keep that in mind. In this particular psalm, would you believe just before this, the psalmist said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Tell you the truth, he could have taken the time and he would have been right. But then the latter part of the psalm, it says, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. But you know something? Right in the middle of that, I will take the cup of salvation. The cup of salvation is very precious, is it not? It isn't complicated. God has made it very plain so that a child not only understands, but many of them are very quick to believe and to receive the Lord Jesus and to receive his salvation. Salvation, which is deliverance. Salvation procured by Christ, made available to everyone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Good word. Good Bible word. I hope you have the cup of God's salvation tonight. It's just a prayer away. And you don't have to struggle for it, strive for it, work for it, try to buy it. But you can have it readily. And right where you're seated tonight. That's the wonderful part about God's salvation. Even though it took years of God planning it, yet in a moment of time, you can have it. Isn't it marvelous? But it demands a response from individuals. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you want to be. We're not here to complicate it. Remember, Christ died according to the Scriptures, buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel story. And you can have this salvation tonight. You don't even have to confer with the preacher, although that's good. You don't have to walk the aisle, and that's good, too, publicly confessing Christ. I tell you, if you mean putting up a hand to indicate a person wanted to be saved, I have no objection against any of these things, as long as they get to know Christ as their Savior. Brother Eddie told me, don't get excited tonight. Hard when you're preaching the gospel not to get excited, believe me. All right, the cup of salvation. There's another cup way back in the Old Testament. You don't have to turn to it. Genesis 44. Joseph said, put my cup in his bag. You know whose bag that was? When little Benjamin. And you can imagine how upset those brothers were when they discovered that that cup was in Benjamin's bag. Now, you know the story well, so I don't have to go into detail. And I liken this to the cup of testing. Joseph was testing his brethren because of what had happened years before that, which was a very, very serious lesson. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And little Benjamin, of course, had to be the scapegoat, as it were. But you know the story. They sold Joseph down there into that caravan going south. And Joseph suffered as a result of that. And so he put the cup in the bag to test his brethren. And you know, you have a cup of testing. If you're a Christian tonight, there are testings. You have it sometimes morally. You face certain temptations morally, spiritually. The Satan is always there to tempt you. You have the problem with the flesh. If you're a Christian, remember that there's a war going on inside of you. And don't be surprised at the war. Some of the battles you might lose, but eventually you're not going to lose the war. You're going to come out on top. And somebody might ask, well, Brother Perry, this war gets so tiring. Sometimes I get so frustrated. I get down. Those things that I want to do, I want to do what's right, but I find myself doing the opposite. How can I overcome? I don't have to go into detail. Not my business to probe into the consciences of people here tonight. Because all of us, especially if we're believers, we're talking about Christians now, you have that warfare going on in your heart. You have a testing going on in your life. Let me suggest, you've heard it many times, nothing new, and yet we can't come up with any gimmicks, no quicky ways of doing this, but it's consistent reading of the Word of God. Thy Word have I what? Hid in my heart, that I might not stand against thee. It's the Word of God. We can quote a lot of scriptures in this connection. And of course, prayer. Keeping close fellowship with the Lord. Hearing the Word of God as you come out to church, as we often say. Being in the place where God wants you to be. Avoiding temptations when we can avoid them. There are many things. Testings will come. We've been told that in James chapter 1. Don't be surprised when the testings come. They will come. If you do not have any testings, well, chances are you're not even a believer. You're not a believer. But if you're not, you can be one tonight. Just try to encourage you as a Christian. And then, if you're testing, you say, but Brother Perry, I fail. You know, isn't it nice to know you have not only the Word, the Holy Spirit to help you, and prayer for talking to God about it? Isn't it nice to know you have the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who what? Cleanses us from all sin. Get a constant bathing in the blood of Christ. That's very, very important. If we what? Confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we're not going to talk about the 70 cups tonight, so don't just be relaxed, all right? But it's nice to know that God does give strength and help in a time of testing. But then in Genesis 40 and verse 11, Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. That was a dream of the butler. You know what happened there, don't you? And and of course, he was all upset. He was put in prison because of an error, a mistake he made. And he was so upset he was in prison. But in this dream, and you know the dream, of course, of the butler. And Joseph said, you're going to be restored, and you're going to be back in your position. So here's the cup of restoration. We talked about testing, failure, confession of sin, restoration. It's good to know that you can be restored to the Lord. This brings us to another story. And you know this story well too, 2 Samuel. And you don't have to turn to it, but if you're making notes, 2 Samuel 12 and verse 3. Nathan the preacher was talking to David and he told him a parable. He said, oh, King David, he said, there was a man who was a very poor man. Says in he had a ewe lamb, that is a female lamb, little lamb. And he said, you know, he nourished this lamb and he fed this lamb. And he says, and he drank from the cup of his master. And I never realized that before, you know, when I was reading it, going over all the cups, a lot of the cups in the Bible. And he grew up together and drank from his own cup. But then a rich man came and took the little lamb from him. And David was so angry, he said, who has the audacity to do that? Tell me who he is. I'll have him put to death. And Nathan, being a faithful preacher, said, thou art the man. Man, I tell you, that must have been a very shocking blow to that great man of God. So you see, even King David fell and failed. And so that cup was a cup of sin, in a sense, not so much the ewe lamb and his master, but speaking of David, you know, the cup of the world is filled with sin. The dregs are with sin. It's a mixed up society and world, isn't it? I mean, you read the paper, watch the news. I try never to watch the news nighttime. You want to, go ahead. I just try not even to look at it. It's just filled with nothing but bad news and sad news. But you know, there is a cup of sin. And it's all over, everywhere you turn. Young people, look. I tell you, we pray for you all of the time as well as pray for ourselves, because you got a lot against you. All kinds of things coming your way. And the devil is making it his business to make sure that cup is colorful and that cup is glowing. It may look attractive, but the word says sin, when it is finished, it bites. And it what? It kills. It brings forth nothing but death. For the wages of sin is death. You can't get around that. You can't. Always keep that in mind. It may look appealing. It may even feel appealing and pleasurable. But then it will bite like a serpent. And it will destroy. It'll destroy. Believe me, it will. But that's not God's purpose. He wants you to know the cup of his salvation, as we read to you from Psalm 116. But there is this cup that we need to be aware of, the one we just referred to. I like this one, Psalm 16 and 5. It says, "This shall be the portion of mine inheritance and my cup." I like to talk about our inheritance. Mark talked tonight about heaven like he wanted to go tonight. I'm not sure that he wants to go tonight, but you were singing, young people, like you wanted to go there tonight. You bless our hearts. Because you know what you were telling us? That the Christian has a hope. You're telling us about the wonderful place of glory in your song. And you bless the hearts of the old people like us. I don't know if you know that. Young people, I realize it takes time, practice, and you're tired. And sometimes you say, I think I feel like calling Mr. Ross up and said, I don't think I can make it tonight. But listen, you have no idea the blessing your songs are to us. Really, it's thrilling. It's so encouraging. Keep at it. Even when you feel tired, you may not even feel well. Just keep there. Sing about the inheritance of the Christian. It's nice to dwell on your inheritance, isn't it? I'm not talking about the earthly inheritance. Sometimes they can get you in a lot of trouble. But the heavenly inheritance, you know what it says about that? It says thieves can break through and steal it. Moth can't eat it, nor can rust deteriorate it. Isn't it now? Isn't it, Mark? It's secured for you. You've got something going for you. And the day is coming that you're going to really know what it is to claim that inheritance. But, of course, the greater gift of all and blessing is when we see the Lord face to face. That is really going to be something, I tell you. And you're going to get your new body. Because you never get to heaven the body you got. And looking at some of you, I think you'll agree with me. You're glad you ain't going there. You ain't going there with that body. I know I'm glad I'm not going there with this body. Hallelujah. Oh, I wouldn't like to think that was so. But you're going to have a new body. Talking about bodies, it's sure good to see Glenda out tonight. Honey, this is the first time since having the baby. Welcome back to our young people's meeting. Sure good to see you, believe me. And the baby doing well? Hallelujah. Why, getting back to our inheritance. Are you looking forward to it? Of course you are. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, that's the one thing you want to keep in mind. And it's going to be tremendous. However, there are some people, are you prepared for this? They're going to get a greater inheritance. I know you think of inheritance getting to heaven, but that's just part of it. You know, you're in a race. You're running a race. And you want to obtain the prize. You want to be able to go in for greater things for the Lord. You say, but I don't have much gift. Yes, you have gift. Only thing is, look for the gift in your life. Ask the Lord, Lord, what is my gift? There's something you can do. Don't cut yourself short. There are at least 29 gifts, I believe, maybe more, in the Word of God. Trouble is, a lot of us need to go and discover those gifts and apply those gifts. Use them for the glory of God, so that in that day, you're going to get a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. You listen, let me tell you, that's far greater than the Olympics, you know. You're just getting their gold, their bronze, their silver. It's going to be something. And you talk about inheritance, or you talk about the prize now, which is along with the inheritance, that for your faithfulness and going on for the Lord and doing for God. And keep in mind, you're not going to pull the wool over God's eye, even though you get to heaven. But listen, when you see all those believers up there, I know the martyrs are going to get a tremendous crown, great reward. But there are other things too, you know. They're going to be the people you never expected. And there they are. Wow. Look at that. As they relate about their works, and the Lord reveals what they've done with the right motive, with a pure heart, and he gives them a reward. A reward, not just a reward. And so, the cup of inheritance is good, but there are greater things in store. Now quickly, Psalm 23 and verse 5. That was Psalm 16 and 5. Thou anointest my head with oil. I like this one. You know why? Because it's got to do with down here now. My what? My cup runneth over. You know, not too many of us get to that stage in life. Some of you look like you got a crack in your cup and you can't fill up. That's right. Nice smile. As a Christian, we've got a lot going for us. My cup runneth over. And Joel Worth used to say some of God's children look like they've been baptized in lemon juice. How many remember that? The older ones. You remember? Oh, boy, you must be getting up there. Yes. My cup runneth over. We need to see more joy. Because after all, let's face it, I know you have trials and problems, and I know you don't always feel well physically, but let me tell you something. If you don't have the joy of the Lord in your heart, and the world looks at me and say, boy, if that's Christianity, no thanks, I don't want it. I got my own problems. You know what I mean? You can't really blame them to a degree. If I'm a murmuring, complaining Christian, moaning and, you know, never look at the bright side of life, always the dark side, and worried because you can't find more things wrong with you. You know people like that? You don't ever ask how you feel. Boy, that's a mistake, because you better be prepared for 30 minutes. They unload on you. You never get a chance. I got 9 things wrong with me, and I always tell people, before I say, wait a minute, before you get started, let me tell you about the 9 things I got wrong with me, and I can't get a word in. I can't even talk about the first thing. Not that they're very serious, but you know, let's talk about the good things, the joy of the Lord, and how to have our cups running over, and the peace of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God. My cup runneth over. Oh, my boy, let me tell you, we need more cups running over today. We really do. And let me give you another one. Isaiah 51 and verse 17 says, the cup of his fury now, that's what it's called, without reading the whole verse. You know, this is the sad part now. There is a cup of fury, of judgment, that's a cup of judgment. You find it in Revelation 14 and 10, and 2 or 3 times in Revelation. This cup of the wrath of God. A little serious note here. Listen, my unsaved friend, if you won't settle for the cup of joy, the cup of salvation, you're going to have to settle for the cup of his wrath in the coming day. Oh, I tell you, this is sad. This is sad. And it need not be. God's love is for you, and he wants you to know that, and he wants you to be saved. And there's another cup as well, because there are many of them, and I like this one. Perhaps I should have used this one even earlier. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42, it says, he that gives a cup of cold water in my name. I like that. He's not only done it to that individual, but the Lord Jesus said he has given it, what? Unto me. Isn't it nice to know that when you do something good or kindness that you show to another person, to a Christian, you're doing it to the Lord Jesus? You ever thought of it that way? You ever thought of it that way? I tell you one thing, it'll make that giving or that kindness a lot easier. You realize it. A cup of cold water. And my name, Inasmuch as you have done it at the least of one of these, of my own, you have done it unto me. A cup of kindness. The world is dying for a little bit of kindness. Sometimes I'm a little rough and coarse. I get angry with myself. You know, just shows you we're not perfect, true. But yet, we still can make a little effort, right? To be kinder. We sing that, let me be a little kinder. We can be, if we try, with the Lord's help. So that cup of kindness, that cup of cold water given in His name, and I know you'll be blessed for it. Then, Matthew 20, verse 22. And this here again is a very serious cup. It says, are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink? The disciples wanted to sit, you know, one on His right hand and one on the left. And the Lord was talking about the cup, of course, of His suffering on the cross. And they said, yes, we can. Well, the Lord said something very interesting. I know you can, but what He meant was the day is coming that you're going to drink of your cup of suffering, but it won't be like His cup. No one can take the cup of suffering like Jesus. No one can suffer the way the Lord Jesus did at the hands of men and then even the hands of His Father. No one. But there is a cup of suffering. That is, in this world, a lot of people are suffering. And we don't have time to develop that. I'm taking a lot of subjects tonight, but remember, we're talking about the cup. All right? At least we're still on that theme, even though it's varied, many, many subjects. Matthew 23, verse 25. This is an interesting cup, this one. He told the Pharisees, you make clean the outside of your cup, but inside nothing but dregs and uncleanness. This is the cup of hypocrisy. You'd be surprised how easy it is to be hypocritical, you know. You know what hypocrite is? One who just pretends. This is very, very solemn. When it comes to salvation, can't pretend. You got to know that you got it, or you don't have it. Hypocrisy is very, very easy to be guilty of. Give a wrong impression, you know. The fellow who's behind in his car, in the car in front of him, and he was tooting his horn, and finally, when he got alongside of the car, he was ready to make a motion with his hand, a motion of disgust. And this is a believer now. And when he looked over, he noticed it was one of the elders of the assembly. And before he had time to make that gesture, which is an unkind gesture, he said, hi, brother. Now, that's hypocrisy. See? Pretense, you know. Yeah, I know you heard this one, too. The fellow that was lawyer, got his degree, had his office set up, but he hadn't had any customers yet. A man came in, and he thought that was his first client, so quickly, I'll refer to this quickly, so he picked up the telephone, and he started talking on the telephone, and said, yes, there's, no, not tomorrow, I'm awfully busy tomorrow, no, not Thursday, I have this, very important appointment. He said, Friday, yes, 11 o'clock Friday morning, that's fine. Says, I'll be looking for you, sir. And so he hung up the telephone. The fellow stood before his desk at that time, and he said, what can I do for you, sir? He said, I'm from the telephone company. I've come to hook up your telephone. Hypocrisy, you know, hypocrisy. Oh, it's so easy to be, live a life of pretense, is it not? Okay, Matthew 26, I'm just going to read this. I can't leave this one up. This is important. He took the cup and he gave thanks. And then he said, as oft as you do this, you what? You do it in remembrance of me. All the cups that I've talked about, let me ask you, have you taken the cup of remembrance that speaks of his shedding of his blood? A very important cup. I think Brother Morris mentioned it the other night when he was speaking. Cup of remembrance, a cup of thanksgiving, a cup of worship. And lastly, 1 Corinthians 10:21. He refers to this the cup of blessing which we bless. And so it is a cup of blessing. Now, you want to make a good study. You take all the verses of the Bible referring to a cup, and you come up with your own subject, if you like. I just selected a few, and appreciate you listening. Try to remember the cups, some of them at least, if you can't remember all of them, all right? Let's bow for prayer. Good to see you. Brother Eddie, would you close in prayer for me, please?